Hello everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Retro Odyssey. This episode we're going into some rather unsavoury territory and exploring some guilty pleasures. I'm joined by my co-hosts Ryan, Stephen and Matt, and I'm your host as usual, Adam. Say hello guys.
Hello.
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 Right, so this topic is guilty pleasures. Now, I think it's probably best that we clarify what we mean by guilty pleasures before we start. These aren't necessarily bad games, so we're not guilty necessarily that we like them, but they're games that we can see that, you know, they have a lot of faults, maybe, and you can see the problems, but you still enjoy them regardless. Would you agree with that definition?
Yeah,
I'd say so.
Yeah, I don't think we picked any genuinely horrible games.
Well, you say that. we'll wait until we chat about them before we kind of make that judgment. But I think we're best off starting with Ryan this time.
Game of choice for this topic was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, released in, was that 87 on the Nintendo?
Right.
I think it's 87 on the Nintendo Entertainment System. It was one of the, I think it was the first Turtles installment on console. Also had a PC release.
Was it released before or after the Turtles arcade game? Because it was a Turtles beat-em-up arcade game.
I think this came right after the TMNT arcade game because people were expecting TMNT, the arcade, and they got this instead because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 is TMNT 2, the arcade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a much better game.
Well, it doesn't take much. So, what's the plot of this game, then? I didn't really kind of get what was going on when I played it, to be honest. I just know that Shredder and Krang was in it.
I mean, it's a pretty basic Turtles plot. It's Shredder shows up, dicks around with the Turtles, hijacks April. You end up saving April, and that was actually a ruse to kidnap Splinter. And then the second half, the second two-thirds of the games is going to save Splinter instead. You get to see all of your standard Turtles villains, Bebop, Rocksteady, Mechaturtle.
And the orange mummies and stuff and the crazy flying bats.
And then things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, I recognize some of the characters. As I mentioned last time, I'm not kind of overly big on the Turtles franchise. But obviously you recognize things like Bebop, Rocksteady, Shredder, and stuff like that. But the main enemies of this game, they're a little strange.
This is actually a really prime example of what happens when you're kicking out too many games. So, I don't know how many people know. I'm sure people who are really into Nintendo, and especially retro Nintendo, know that back when the NES was launched, it was following the U.S. video game crash. And it really grabbed the video game industry in the U.S. and pulled it back out of the slumps. Because it was looking bad, Nintendo put several things, they had several rules when it came to developing on the NES. One of those rules was you can only produce five or seven games a year.
Yeah, I vaguely remember hearing something around that.
And what quickly happened, and the point with that was that you can't kick out, you can't just crank out shitty games constantly. Yeah.
Like
what was happening before, where you can go and develop a game for a month and kick it out.
Yeah.
And it's just utter garbage. The loop behind that was it only followed the name of the company. So what you had was Konami has owned the rights to the Turtles franchise for video game media literally since the 80s. As soon as the first game was made, they had it. But this, and I think the next, I think Turtles 1, 2, and 3 are actually made by Ultra, because Ultra was a child company of Konami to bypass that rule. And as a result, because they were making lots of games for the NES, this game did not meet any standards that you see later on.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It has so many issues.
You say it was kind of like the child arm of Konami? Was it coded by children?
Quite possibly, I'm not sure.
I mean, was there any reasoning why they kind of went with such, like, random enemies? Because, I mean, like, part of it, like, you've got the city and the sewers, and then you've got April and Shredder and things. Those bits are, you know, standard staples of the franchise. But then, like, the weird enemies, it just seems like they've basically just stuck some turtle bosses and some turtle characters in just a random game they made.
Yeah, and I'm not so deep into Turtles. My childhood was comprised of the cartoon. It started off as a comic book, and it was actually a little bit more serious. So there might have been some of these enemies might have been based in the comic book. The art on the cartridge and box is actually the like issue number one of TMNT. So it's like it's the same cover art, but it's a the game feels really weird, especially when you jump into like the later games like Turtles in Time and Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
And it feels like you're playing through the cartoon world that we're all familiar with.
Yeah, so this might be linked to the comic instead.
So this might be a little bit more in comic, or more likely is they went, we were able to secure the rights to TMNT for video games, and it's hot shit right now, so let's just crank out a game. What would you... Sewers have, they're fighting monsters. What's another? Wolves have a gigantic toad. Throw some Foot Clan soldiers in there, because they fight a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a mess, and then they, you know, your standard bosses, Bebop, like you said, Bebop and Rock, so you have to have your iconic things in there, otherwise it could have been any game.
Well, exactly, that's what I mean. The, you know, it had a few different things that link it to the Turtles, but it just seemed like one of those crappy kind of platforming games you got during that era.
Yeah, and it was one of the things that just got cranked out, and you can feel it every inch of the way that this was a half-assed development. And I do want to see what everybody's opinions on some of this, the horrible game design is, but I want to proceed that with the PC version is even worse.
How?
Well, the textures are... It's supposed to be a cleaner look, but what happens is they have better textures, but it all looks completely muddied. So the game looks worse. The audio is just complete shit. And the game is actually unbeatable. There's a jump. I don't know who here actually finished it, or at least got halfway through.
I saw it through to the end, but I wish I didn't.
There's a jump in the sewer. I think it's in the second world after you rescue, or after you beat Bebop.
Yeah.
And you move into the second zone. Oh, God. There's a jump that's really, really hairy. You have to, like, walk right on the edge and then make one clean jump, or else you fall in the water and you get washed out to the beginning of the sewer.
There's a few of those.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, but there's one really specific one that's a... And what happened in the PC port was the platform that you have to jump from got shifted left several pixels.
So it's impossible.
So you can't make the jump without hacking the game.
And that's not even like that far into the game.
You know, it's the second zone of the first world. Yeah, it's not very far at all, but you have to make that jump to progress.
But I remember something similar in the... I think it might have been in the first world, but it's on some kind of rooftop, and you have to jump in a very specific way because there's like an enemy on the other side that'll just knock you into the pit.
Yep.
And I remember just save staying and retrying that bit again and again just to get the specific pixel that I had to jump on.
It was... it's not great. Lots of visual. The game had way too much going on, so it kind of hurts the eyes to play.
And it kind of like slows down quite a lot as well when there's a lot of enemies on.
The leg gets really bad.
And is it just me, or is the game kind of slightly RNG based on, you know, what enemies it produces? Because sometimes I'll go into a screen and there's it's full of certain types of enemies, and then another time I'll go back and then go back onto the same screen and there's completely different enemies there.
It is. Each building that you walk into has, I think it's two enemy loadouts. It has like two enemy pallets that it can load into that scenario.
Yeah.
Which is neat because it means that you can walk back in there and have a different experience.
Yeah,
which is clever definitely. For the time. It's clever thinking.
It is, but usually I'd find that one of them was beatable and one was just obnoxious.
Yeah. It was a clever idea, but it was not well executed because some of those enemies are just
ridiculous.
I'm not sure how you're supposed to deal with them without taking a buttload of damage.
Well, especially as you get into the later game, like that final stage, I kind of got a little bit lucky. Because that final stage was mental, and you've got to find the what's it called? Is it the Pterodrome?
The Technodrome.
Technodrome.
Yeah, there's like, oh god, there's so many buildings. The secret, yeah, you're talking about the secret base.
Yeah,
and you can go into buildings, like, and you can go underground, and
yeah, because there's loads of different locations, and you go into one, and it just reaches a dead end.
Yeah,
and then I just went into a random one that was quite far away, and it happened to be the right one.
The reason, there's a reason they have like the multiple areas in the game, and that's because when you lose a turtle, you can go and rescue him, and he will appear. And when he dies, your turtle will be captured and be put in a specific building.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It could be any of the buildings that have a dead end, and then you can go and fight your way through, rescue the turtle. He comes back with full health, and that's kind of your one-ups.
Okay.
So, again, a clever idea, but it was just poorly executed for some, especially the secret base. Zone 2, before you get to the dam, which I want to hear some opinions on that, before you get to the dam, there's so many sections that you don't know what building you're supposed to go into, and you can damn near die trying to get in and out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a maze, a lot of it. Especially as you get further on, you just have no idea where you're meant to go at all. There's so many buildings, so many sewers, and I got really confused.
Some of those buildings, you'll walk in and you'll see there's one building in the first. It's in the first area. You walk in and you see a full pizza on the floor above you, but there's nothing else in there, and it's. Like, if you're really good, it's a good way to top off, like, three of your turtles. But because of the enemy RNG, which can just switch halfway through a room, if anybody had that happen, you can go, you're like, oh, this is a good enemy set, walk through, get the pizza, and then suddenly it's all the hardest enemies.
Yeah, and then you just kind of, you're worse off than when you started.
Yeah, you're going to leave there with, like, one notch left.
Yeah, it is a bit iffy. And, like, there's one bit where you're in... like some kind of car or truck or something.
Yeah, the party wagon.
To blow these, yeah, and you've got to use your missiles to blow these barriers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whether it was just me, but it seems like there was only like one pack of missiles in one specific building. So I'd go, use my missiles, and then I'm like, oh, I need more missiles. And I had to go back and get some more and do that whole room again just so I've got more missiles to finish the rest of them off.
I think I found two. I was going to say I found two.
Right, I only found that one pack, but the pack respawned, so I could get it again. But I just kind of felt like I had to go all the way back to that section to recollect the same pack again.
Yeah, that's
when it should have just been like a missile upgrade, and then I can fire missiles.
Because yeah, and it's because it's not like you can. It's not like your turtles have missiles now.
Yeah.
You know, screw the throwing stars. We just have rockets.
Yeah.
It was it's a party from start to finish. Not the good kind either.
Well, the music was particularly good. Like, that was the first thing that kind of hit me as I booted up the game, is that the music was actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
so I actually went in with good expectations, because I thought, okay, the graphics look a bit shoddy, like it's an early NES game, but the music's pretty neat. This could be all right.
And then you're just disappointed. No, I... It's one of my favorite OSTs for NES titles, just straight up. I've been playing this game since I was 6, so maybe 5. I've had it my entire life, so that
That's
I know
why
of.
Such a well-rounded individual now.
Yeah, right. Nothing wrong with me. And if it is, it's not because of this game. So, you're talking about the barriers. I think we all know what follows the party wagon and the barriers, and it's the dam.
Oh, God, yes.
The dam is infamous in video game history. It's well known as one of the most irritating levels of all time.
It feels like it shouldn't be, though, because I found that the hardest part was actually just controlling the damn turtles and making them swim. If you could swim in a way that was kind of intuitive and you could navigate properly, then I don't think it would be that bad. But because the dodgy controls and dodgy hit detection, it's really hard, like... Really,
yeah, like when there's that one corridor that's like super tight with the, I guess, electric seaweed.
Yes. Well, I was going to say that when I first did it, I basically had to restart the level over and over and over again until I learned how to swim. And then after that, I found it really easy up until that one section. And it's really, really tight. It's like you have to get it perfect.
But you really do.
You have dodgy controls that... it's almost impossible to do unless you've basically learned it, you know, by hand.
Well, yeah, and I've done, these are the weirdest bragging rights, not something I'm necessarily proud of. I've gotten through the dam without taking a single hit.
Oh, yeah, I can see that it's possible. I mean, when I did it, I didn't take that much damage.
It's just not fun.
Not one bit.
And then imagine back in 1988 or whatever, and you're, like, seven, you know, you don't have years of, muscle memory and refined video game motor skills to help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was slightly unfair. I mean, the actual concept of that stage itself isn't that bad. And once I got the hang of the controls, it was actually reasonably enjoyable up until that one section. And yeah. I kind of feel like they just went a little bit overboard with that bit. If they'd have cut that one room out, basically, it would have been okay.
Yeah, or if they had
controls decent, it would have been okay. But
like, I don't think the game has. I mean, obviously, I enjoy the game, or else I wouldn't have picked it in this case. I don't think the game is without redeeming qualities, but it definitely was lazily designed. It was lazily made, really.
Yeah, it does seem like it was just kind of shoddily put together.
I was hoping some of y'all would have, like, some really grand glitches, because most of it's, like, pretty irritating stuff, but I've had some amazing grand times. Because I've played the game so much.
I don't seem to remember any kind of major glitches happening. I think the main thing was just kind of exploits, like using the fellow with the big stick. I don't remember his name.
Gerald. He's Gerald now. Gerald the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, whatever he's called. But, like, using his stick to basically hit through walls.
Yep, yep.
Which doesn't seem like it should be possible, but, hey, what if I'm at a section where I want to clear things off the ceiling or the other side of a wall? Or, like, with that boss exploit where you just kind of stand on top of a crate and knock him.
Oh, good, you did that. Yeah, when you beat the shit out of Rocksteady by bonking him on the head.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, and fighting that boss, like, legit... crazy hard.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's stupid unfair if you try to be, you know, if you try not to cheese it.
But sometimes with those kind of bosses, you have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like another game that's pretty awful. Zelda 2.
Oh, God.
Dark Link at the end. If you try and do Dark Link legit, it's almost impossible. But if you just sit in the corner and crouch stab him, you know, he's a piece of cake. But with these kind of games, you kind of have to take any advantage you can get.
I would like to, right now, extend a thank you to all of you for nobody picking Zelda 2.
I know, I hate that game. I played through it once, through to the finish, and I never want to touch that game again.
So we shouldn't put it for another category.
Yeah.
Please, please no.
See, I've been trying to avoid Zelda games in case we did that as a topic.
What, do you like Zelda 2?
No, I've been trying to avoid Zelda games in general thus far.
To be honest, I'd actually be more interested in playing something like Wonder Gamelon or one of those CDI games than Zelda 2.
You mean the ones that don't exist?
Yeah.
I mean, the ones that don't exist, yeah.
I had some fantastic glitches that close up here with a couple personal experiences and Turtles over the years because of, like, the buggy. Like, yeah, we said before, like, enemies can switch halfway through. Like, you'll transition into the next screen in a building, and suddenly what you're expecting will change. I've had all of the enemies just despawn out of a room.
That's quite useful.
Yeah, it is. Or what I've done before is I've gotten halfway through a room, been clearing enemies out, and then they all immediately respawn back in just out of nowhere. Like, one dude walks in off screen, as I'm expecting, and then everything reappears. I've had the first boss, Bebop, in the sewer. He didn't appear once. I don't even know how. He just wasn't there. And I've also had the little mini bosses, you know, when, like, the Foot Clan with the health bar will pop up.
Yeah.
I've had those also just not appear. And I can't progress because the screen locks.
Oh, so you can't even use it to your advantage.
Yeah, he's just gone. He just, the music starts, the screen locks in the battle room, and there's no soldier. The health bar is there.
Is that a common glitch, or is it just something that randomly happens? Like,
in 20 years, I think I've had it happen twice.
I know people do speedrun TMNT for some reason, and I'd have thought with such bugs like that, it would kind of put people off.
Yeah, I would imagine running into something. I don't know how common that is. I might have to look that up at some point to see if it's
maybe it's a specific trigger or something for it.
Maybe being in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Yeah, could be anything with that game.
It really could. It's such a technical nightmare.
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop me from playing it again, probably next year.
Really? Do you play it that often?
Yeah, I usually give it a few hours every year or so.
Why?
I just really like it. I don't know. It's just one of those games that I really like. I think it's the music. I think the music has me going in. I'm really into chiptunes and stuff, so...
Right, when you say that you play it for a while, do you actually play it through to completion, or do you just play it for a bit and then just price on it?
I usually get up to the Technodrome fight and call it good.
Really?
I think I've only beaten the game twice. And
yeah,
then,
I don't think it's worth even playing.
The Technodrome's a pain in the ass unless you've been hoarding boomerangs or triple stars.
Yeah. Because I didn't use many of my special items, I was just spamming them all on that boss.
Yeah, that's you can hoard them up too. You can, like, if you find an area that's like, oh, at the end of this room, there's triple stars. You can fight through, pick it up, leave, enter, and then stack another 10 or 20 on there.
Yeah.
And I think it maxes out at like 99.
Nice.
And at that point, you just become unstoppable.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was released in 89.
89. Out of interest, what's your favorite level or favorite part of the game?
It's probably the second section after Bebop.
Yeah.
So I guess that'd be sector two of the game, where you get the party wagon, you get to blow shit up, run over Foot Clan soldiers who are wandering around on the overworld.
Yeah, and then you've got those stupid vehicles with rollers or whatever.
Yeah, because that's a completely reasonable vehicle to design. It's basically a tracked steamroller.
Yeah, just rolling around the city.
Squishing turtles. Did you get squished by one?
No, I got hit by one in the party wagon.
Oh, yeah, you get getting hit by one of the rollers just as a turtle on the overworld is instant death.
The first time that I actually started up the game, I was killed by one of them in about 10 seconds.
If you want to have fun sometime, probably more fun than most of the game, is chase one of the rollers around the overworld and kill it with your weapon.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It's about 10 hits. Pretty dodgy. If anybody is interested in a bad time, you can pick this up for $8 to $12. I don't think it's worth that.
No.
But that is for an original, not a repro.
I paid £7 for it, roughly, unboxed for the PAL version.
So that's about $12, $12, $13.
I wouldn't pay that for it.
I'm looking at one on eBay right now. It's tested original, $8. That's about the maximum I would pay. You're better off just emulating it.
Yeah, I think... Even if I was like a big NES collector collecting all the games, I don't think I'd want to pay more than a couple of quid for it.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah. You'd be better off finding the TMNT 2 and Manhattan Project. That's a much better use of money.
Right, so Matt and Steve, what did you reckon to it? I think it's pretty clear that I don't like it particularly much.
I mean, I barely got far enough into it to really form an opinion. I just could not get through. So I, you know, wasn't a fan.
Well, I think that's one of the main issues as well, is that from the start it's just chaos and obnoxious bullshit that they throw you with.
Yeah. And no guidance.
Yeah. You pretty much have to know exactly what to do and just memorize it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not even like fair memorization. It's not like, you know, your Contras or things like that, where knowing where stuff is makes things easier. It's like you literally need to know every pixel you need to jump from for like every different, you know, part of the level.
I found it quite hard, but not impossibly hard. I got as far as the fight where you are saving Splinter, and Splinter's kind of like strung up in the corner, and you've got to fight two bosses, one after the other. I couldn't get past that. That is as far as I got. But the rest of it, it was more about perseverance, really, getting through it. If I didn't have save states on the Retron 5, which is what I played it on, then I'd have, like, been useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of think that if you're playing this on, you know, the original system, you're probably not going to get far unless that's literally the only game you play.
Yeah.
That's where I've been playing it for years now, but now I've just recently dumped it on my Mini, so I might do a thing where I play through half of it and then later I pick it up and finish it up.
Finish off.
Because, yeah, like I said, you get to the Technodrome, and after you went through the secret base, and it's just terrible. That level's terrible. I love the music of the secret base, but it's just a labyrinth. It's an open-ended labyrinth.
Yeah. Right. I think we've pretty much summed that one up. So I think we'll move on to something a little bit different. So, Stephen, do you want to go next?
Sure. My game was Final Fantasy, the original for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Released in 1987, and I mean, the most people that are into Final Fantasy know the story, where this was basically their last ditch, you know, try and save the company game, and it just happened to do exactly that.
You know, we're wondering how.
Well, because it was, you know, one of the first RPGs to really take off. I mean,
and we're wondering how.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I expected to hate it, like, a lot more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I still didn't like it, because I just don't like the genre, to be honest.
Right.
But I found some things in there that I thought, you know, was pretty good. Like, the music in particular, I thought was pretty good. And the sprites are not fantastic, but they're nice. Mm-hmm. And they're decent.
Functional.
Yeah, exactly. They do. There's plenty of stuff to customize. Like, you've got different classes. Although, I can't remember. What is it? It's the the dude. He was pretty useless. Was he a thief or something? I can't remember the class name.
The blue one? A thief.
Yeah, the guy with, like, the blue hair.
Yeah.
Like, out of the four of them, I found that he was just pretty useless, and I kind of just used him as just kind of a person who was there, and just all the other
a warm ones. Body.
Yeah, that is something that they fixed in later versions, where in later versions the thief gets more attacks because he's basically attacking faster.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about this game is, you know, the original, it does have its problems. There are spells that flat out don't work. There are things like if you put two people to attack a monster and it dies with the first one, the second one will still try to hit it and be ineffective. This was, I mean, 1987, this was like a lot of the early NES games. It was held together with, you know, cardboard and string. They were barely able to get it functional, and it kind of shows.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the stuff you mentioned, I didn't even really kind of notice, because to me that's what most JRPGs are like, where it seems like you've just got attacks that are there.
Right.
You don't really seem to do all, and you just use basically one attack that's good, and then you just ignore everything else, because there doesn't really seem to be much difference.
Well, see, the big problem here is that some of the things that didn't work were those big spells that are, you know, that should be your go-to. Yeah. For example, the spell, I don't remember exactly what the name was in the original, but there's a spell that increases your damage that just didn't work, and that's one of the best ways to get through the bosses is with that spell.
I mean, to be honest, I think I probably didn't notice a lot of the actual problems because I didn't get very far.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, it is quite a long game, from what I believe.
It is.
How long does it take to beat the game, do you think?
I'm not entirely certain, because I've yet to get all the way through the original version. Most of my time is played in the remakes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think I spent about 36 hours
Yeah, I think maybe I played like, I probably managed about a couple of hours of it before I got bored. I got to like hit with the some pirates or other, like you're in a town.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you have to stop the pirates.
I don't think it's very far.
No, that's fairly early. But yeah, what I'm looking at is most runs on the original will take, you know, 17 and a half hours for just the main story, and then, you know, it goes up from there.
All right. Which isn't bad, to be honest, but...
that's like a pretty good playtime.
Compared to where the series playtimes ended up, yeah, I'll say.
200 hours.
But I imagine that if you had the game at the time, and you were into that kind of thing, probably it was something that, you know, was quite good. Because back then, you pretty much only had like a small handful of games. So
yeah,
a game that can take you that amount of time is probably a good thing.
Yeah, well, so at the time it was, you know, it was revolutionary. It was a big deal. It's just looking back at it, it does not hold up as well.
I suppose that's the same with a lot of those other games.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up well at all. And if you can give it the, it was testing ground.
Yeah.
To establish it, basically establish the rules of a genre, but like...
Right.
Amateur mistakes, like just absurd difficulty right off the bat.
Yes.
Like, you can want, you want, like my first, literally, when I got my mini, I fired up Final Fantasy, went in, first battle, I wiped house pretty well. Second battle, they got, the enemies were getting crits and one-shotting me. And it was nothing I could do.
And that's one of those things they did. They just had to iron out later. So it, you know, I like I've said, I fully admit this game does not hold up as well as some people like to say it does. But I do enjoy it because, you know, it was the beginning, and there is some stuff to enjoy here. You just have to, you know, get into it enough.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I can see like a lot of things that, you know, are actually pretty decent for the time. Mm-hmm. And for me, I really didn't enjoy it, but that's because this type of game I just don't enjoy.
Right.
I mean, there are only like three JRPGs that I actually like, and everything else I just can't play and can't like.
I'm generally not into JRPGs, to be honest, but I actually really quite enjoyed this one. I can see how it can get grindy. Certainly, you kind of need to be at least level 2 or level 3 to kind of like defeat the first boss. And later on, you are running into enemies that you're going to have a lot of trouble with. So you do need to grind quite a lot to get to that kind of power level. Mm-hmm. But that aside, in terms of kind of like the gameplay mechanics, I actually really quite enjoyed it, and I do plan on going and like finishing it. I got as far, I think, as the first major dungeon. There's like quite a large dungeon with a lot of different levels.
Right.
And that is about how far I got. That dungeon completely destroyed me. But with but with extra levels, you know, I can see how with a little bit of grinding I can get through it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the reason why I don't really like the genre anyway, to be honest, is that you often find with these kind of games that it does involve a lot of filler and a lot of grind in order to actually get through, and I just find it rather dull that I have to go through like this routine of grinding the same enemies just so I can fight this thing.
Well, it seems like a cheap way to fluff the time on a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy, is atrocious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus a more refined RPG, and this would be later into Square Enix, I guess it's just Squaresoft at that point.
Yeah.
Super Mario RPG, I think there's only one time that you have to sit there and grind out a level or two, because just traversing through the world usually gets you enough XP to, you know, at least have a competent time against a boss.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that makes a big difference to me, because, I mean, the RPGs that I like are exactly like that, where just general traversal will get you the levels needed to see it through, so you don't have to just sit in a corner and grind for an
hour. Examples, Pokemon. You build, you know, you find the Pokemon you want pretty early on. You know, you have four core Pokemon. The game will, you know, you can usually take on the, was it the, not the Fatal Four, the
Elite Four.
The Elite Four. You can, by the time, if you've been running essentially maybe like 1.5 teams through the game, you can wipe the Elite Four.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you want to kind of get some different Pokemon, you can get them at slightly higher levels. You can grind if you want to, but it's not really necessary. And that's one of the good things about the series, is that it's got as much depth as you want it to have. But if you just want to go from start to finish and just see it through, you can do that.
Yeah. Unless it's Pokemon Silver and it's Whitney's Miltank.
Yeah.
I just think you're not playing the game right, to be honest. I've never had a problem with Whitney.
Well, if you have a, supposedly, they had a lot of topics, supposedly if you have a female Pokemon, Whitney's Miltank is a breeze.
Well, also as well, in the department store, there's a guy who gives you a Machop. And you
get, I didn't know that.
And you just take care of Whitney's Miltank, no problem. Or you get a Geodude from the cave, which is before the second gym. And again, it can't do anything to you.
Yeah.
So that's as long convenient. As you're kind of semi-prepared, then it's not too bad. Anyway, Final Fantasy.
But yeah, I mean, if you know, if people wanted to check Final Fantasy out, I would definitely recommend one of the later versions over the original, just because they were, you know, more refined, they had more features added. Now, as for which version, it really just depends on what you want out of it. The PlayStation release, Final Fantasy Origins, is the closest to the original in terms of how the game plays. It just has the updated graphics and soundtrack and everything. The Game Boy Advance version adds new content to the end of it, tweaks a few things here and there, and then the PSP version has even more graphics, you know, other stuff added and then things put back in that were removed. So, I mean, basically, the PlayStation version is what they wanted to do originally. It's like, that's what they would have done if they could have. And then the other ones bring it more in line with the rest of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and you can... they even have it on Android and Apple, like iOS. Yep. So, I'm looking at it right here. You can pick up a digital version, which looks like more like the HD... probably more of the one of the more updated editions, mm-hmm. as far as mechanics are involved, for $8. I mean, that's not bad if you want to jump into it.
Yeah.
How much is the original game?
The original game, I'm looking at, you know, you can get it for about, you know, 25 to 30 on Amazon used. And then, you know, the rest of them, you can get them for 15 to 20 bucks. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that expensive to get a hold of, no matter which version you're looking at.
Well, they don't they also have, like, the Final Fantasy Anthology collection? Like, the, it's not the Anthology, it's like Final Fantasy 1 through 3 on the PlayStation. Like 1 through 3, 4, 5, and then, like, yeah.
So there's Final Fantasy Origins, which is 1 and 2.
Okay.
There's Final Fantasy Chronicles, which is 4 and Chrono Trigger. And then there's Anthology, which is 5 and 6.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's what I was talking about. You can get those on PlayStation. For last I checked on Amazon, they were really cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at $12 for Origins. I'm seeing $20 for Anthology, and then $21 for Chronicles. So, yeah, not that difficult to obtain.
$21 isn't bad. It's probably one of the cheaper ways to get Chrono Trigger, too.
And actually, hell, that's... And it even goes as far down as $15 on that one, so...
I'm going to look up a price on Chrono Trigger really quick just to see how much that runs, well, because $21 sounds really cheap.
Yeah, well, considering the cartridge I got for $75, and that was from a friend at a discount.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Repro's going to run you $20.
Yeah.
There's a factory sealed for $2,500, $80 for a box set. Yeah, Chrono Trigger's not a cheap game.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah, it's probably one of the games you want to pick up as a repro if you want to play on your console.
Yeah.
While we're talking about other games in the series, I have a friend who is really, really into the Final Fantasy series, like the whole lot.
Right.
And he sent me his kind of like overview of every single game in the series via a text. And he dared me to read this out word for word. So I'm going to read you out this this whole text that he sent me.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Which talks about the sequels. It says, 2 has a shit leveling system, 3 has an awesome job system, 4 is moon shenanigans, 5 has mimes killing an angry tree, 6 introduced limit breaks and motherfucking Sabin, 7 actually introduced limit breaks and 3D and is not the best game, 8 is ha 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 junction 99 for Aga to strengthen and stay level 1 to win. I don't know what any of that means. 9 has best ass. 10, journey across the world to tell your dad to stop being a fish. 11 is an MMO. 12 is run around till you can swing your arm again. I am Bosch Van fucking Rosenberg of Dalmasca. That's all in caps. 13 is a corridor. 14 has best cats. 15 is lads on tour, then a corridor, and they are still making it. And that is the Final Fantasy series in a nutshell.
Apparently. You know what? As a fan of the series, he's not that far off.
As someone who isn't a fan of the series, none of that means anything to me. But I'm sure it's accurate.
Yeah, it sounds pretty accurate.
So, it sounds like none of us had a really bad time with it. I'd say, like, even though I wasn't a fan of it, I can still appreciate that if you like that kind of game, there's probably something in there for you.
And if nothing else, the music was where they did knock it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Final Fantasy, the music was great. And obviously, since they carried a lot of it into, like, you know, just got remixed and redone for later games, I mean...
Yeah.
I would say that the Final Fantasy victory theme is as iconic as Mario, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Nobuo Uematsu
knew... Not the
knew
Mario what game, like the character.
Yeah. Yeah, Nobuo Uematsu knew what he was doing.
Nice one. Right. Okay, well, I think it's time for the next break, and then we'll rejoin with Matt's pick.
Okay, my pick this month is the Ninja on the Master System. This is kind of like a top-down feudal Japan style shooter, I guess you'd say, even though it's not, they're not really guns, they're kind of like ninja stars. I picked this up from Toys R Us when I was about 7 or 8 years old. We didn't have like a huge amount of money growing up, so I had to kind of pick budget games more often than not to fill out my games library. And despite the really shit cover art on this game, for some reason I picked this one up and got it home. I had fun with it. I mean, I could tell even at that age that it wasn't a brilliant game, but since it was the only new game I had, I kind of like forced myself to play through it, have fun with it. I never finished it as a kid for reasons that we're probably going to go into in this discussion regarding actually getting into the last level. But I did spend a good few hours playing this game, and it is still fairly enjoyable to me today. So what do you guys think?
So you say it was a budget game. Was it a budget game back then too?
Yes.
Because I know that like now it's one of the cheapest Master System games you can pick up, because you'd always see it for like a few quid boxed.
Yeah, it was cheap back then as well.
All right.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I genuinely enjoyed myself until I got to the end. I was using save states because it is Contra in one-hit kills for everybody.
Yes, it's brutally hard in places.
But, yeah, I got to the end and it was like, lol, you don't have, you know, you don't get to win. Yeah. Go back and try to win the right time. It's like...
Am I right in thinking this started as an arcade game?
I have never seen an arcade version of this, personally.
It seems like it would have arcade origins because the hit kill thing, it's got a very arcade feel to it.
Yeah, what I'm seeing...
That, you know, you beat in no time at all and you get like a score for it.
Yeah, what I'm seeing says it was an arcade game released in 85.
Oh, alright.
Yeah, I thought it probably would be.
The difference being that I think the graphics were changed for Master System. They changed the graphics, changed the protagonist, and then I think they actually added the scrolls in the Master System.
Yeah, I can imagine it not going down very well in the arcade if they had had I'll explain the mechanic. You've got to find, I believe, 5 scrolls, is it? That are hidden throughout each level. Well, not every single level, but throughout like quite a lot of the levels. And if you haven't found these scrolls, which are usually found by firing a ninja star at a tree or a statue or a certain part of the screen, if you don't have all of them by the time you get to the end, it just says that you can't get into the final level. You can't get into the castle to rescue the princess, is it? So it then sends you back to do it all again and find all the scrolls. So if they had kept that in the arcade version, I can imagine that people wouldn't have been very happy about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't pretty happy about it when I played it last week or so.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to find them without a guide.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you have to just shoot random things to be able to find them without knowing where they are.
Yeah.
That being said, is it worse than like the original Zelda where you have to burn a random bush to find a path to buy some meat?
Well, see, now, I actually thought about that playing that, because I'm like, what other games have I done that have an unexplained mechanic that you're required to figure out to progress, and Zelda was one of the games that popped up in my head. Zelda has a save state, or they have a save system.
Yeah.
That's true.
And while it's annoying that you have to run around the kingdom burning all the bushes, at the very least, you can, if you die in your process, you can save. Instead of you died, all your lives are gone, try it again.
And the other thing is, I think, doesn't Zelda have clues as to those type of things?
Boy, not in my playthrough.
Okay. Oh, you mean like Grumble Grumble? Yeah, that's a brilliant clue, isn't it?
Right.
I know, but I know sometimes they had clues for what you needed to do, whereas this, it's just... Oh, this does give you clues, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. The whole system with the scrolls kind of reminded me of Sonic 2 on the Master System, if you've ever played that. because you have to find these hidden emeralds which are scattered around, and if you don't have them all, you don't have access to the final level. The way that game works is it's just basically the bad ending.
With Sonic 2, as you're going through the level, you can actually see the Chaos Emeralds, though.
You just
need to work out how to get to them. Whereas in this game, they don't show up until you shoot the right area.
And you have to shoot it like 3 or 4 times, I think.
Yeah, sometimes.
So, okay, see, I was unaware about that about Sonic 2, because I've always played Sonic 2 on the Genesis Master/Master System.
Yeah, I played on Genesis and...
Mega Drive.
Yeah, the Master System version is completely different.
Okay, because in the Genesis edition, you have to collect 50 coins and then hit a mark. I think you have to hit... It's like have 50 rings and then hit a checkpoint and a little ring appears you can jump through.
Yeah.
To do a mini game instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a much more reliable system.
Yeah, I actually prefer it in those games because instead of doing a really stupid special stage, you actually have to explore. But yeah, anyway, that's kind of what it reminded me of, apart from obviously these ones are hidden, so they're a bit more obnoxious. I actually found the game quite enjoyable. It had quite a fair amount of variety too, like with a lot of different stuff. Like, the, you know, quite early on, you've got like these rocks falling down that you've got to avoid.
The level, which was where you cross the river on the logs.
Frogger.
Yeah,
basically, even more deadly. It was I found the river level probably to be the most engaging, and while being the most difficult, also the most enjoyable.
I enjoyed the river one, but the one I found the most difficult was the one with the horses running at you.
Yeah,
that one is tough.
The hitboxes of the horses seem to be way larger than what the horses actually are, because you only need to be kind of like near them and they'll run you over.
Yeah.
I found the biggest problem with the game that other than the scroll mechanic, which really put this on the wow, this was a really terrible idea, was the bosses.
Kind of disappointing, aren't they?
Just a little bit. They're all just the same guy who apparently has a magic boomerang stick, and it's like 5 hits and they're gone.
And there isn't even kind of like any victory music or anything. It just unceremoniously dumps you into the
drop
into the score screen.
Yeah, it's
good job,
silly, because the game does have quite a lot of variety as you go through, as I mentioned before. But then the bosses are just quite anticlimactic.
Yeah,
like just throw them in for the sake of it, just as a way to finish the level.
Yeah, I liked the female ninjas that come flying out of the buildings at you.
Oh, with the swords, yeah.
Yeah, and then they just pew, one shot and done. Overall, yeah. I mean, I don't think this was. I mean, like I said, I actually ended up enjoying the game. I can easily see where it has its fair share of problems, though.
Yeah, I found it quite enjoyable. I didn't love it, but I could play it through and see it through to the, well, I say the end, you know, the end until
the
secret level.
Until you realize that you did it wrong.
Until you realize that it's not the end, yeah. But yeah, I played it through. I had a decent time. It wasn't like the best, you know, game I've ever played, but, you know, it was kind of solid. Had its issues, but it was okay.
I thought the music was pretty decent, if not, you know, not much variety, but it was done well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one thing that could have actually really saved the game would be if you maybe had like a small health bar, maybe 2 hits or 3 hits and you die rather than 1 hit.
Yeah,
or if you could at least get pickups that would give you a second hit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that definitely would have helped it.
But as it stands, it's pretty contra hard.
Yeah,
but if you do want to pick it up and have a try, like Adam was saying earlier, it is really cheap. You can pick it up for like a few quid on eBay. It's really not that expensive at all.
Yeah, it's so cheap. Okay, well, I think that's it for that game, so we'll take another break and look at our final title.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so my pick is an interesting title. It's Super Monkey Ball Adventure. It's published by Sega and was developed by Traveller's Tales. It got a release on the PS2 and the PSP with a slightly later release on the GameCube. And it's sort of a 3D platformer game. I suppose imagining something like Mario 64, but, you know, you're actually in a ball instead and rolling around. It's quite a difficult game to describe. It's very different to the original games. Now, I don't know if you've ever played the Monkey Ball games before, but it's actually a series that has puzzle roots. It's effectively Marble Madness, but with monkeys. Have any of you ever played it before?
I've not, no.
No.
No. Well, did you say play Marble Madness?
The original Monkey
Ball. Oh, the original. I haven't played Marble Madness. I have played Super Monkey Ball 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Marble Madness is basically that kind of thing, which was released, like, I don't know, Master System, Mega Drive kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is basically that kind of gimmick where you roll around the stage, you get to the exit. And the series is basically renowned for that. But this game was a little bit different. It was the... You had Super Monkey Ball, which was a console port of the arcade game. Then you had Super Monkey Ball 2 that was kind of consoleized with a story mode and all kind of extras and bits and bats. And then they released a third game. Now, of course, the real question is, where do you go from there? And they decided to just take the game into a completely different direction and make it into a 3D platformer, which a lot of people criticize, but... You know, I kind of think that if they did another Monkey Ball game, it would just be seen as another one on the same system.
Mm.
So I kind of stand by their decision to do that. But I think you'll all agree that even if the premise is kind of good, the game itself is a bit wonky, shall we say. It's not the best developed game.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
I appreciate what they tried to do, because, again, Super Monkey Ball is just stage after stage after stage, trying to make them as interesting as possible, but it's essentially just a whole bunch of the same. And that's what Super Monkey Ball is.
Yeah. I mean, this one does try and include, a sort of coherent story. If you ever played Super Monkey Ball 2, the plot to that is just weird. There's a monkey doctor who wants to effectively rape the female monkey, from what I gather, and that's basically the story. Whereas this one, it's all about a marriage between two rival monkey inhabitants, and these two cities hate each other, so you have to bring peace to these two cities, and then you also have to go to these other areas and solve their problems so that they can come to the wedding. It's kind of a nice little premise, and as I say, like, the whole kind of idea I think works well, but I think the main problem is the worlds just aren't designed for this type of character.
No, you not have a control in the
system. Yeah, I mean, the control system works like in the Monkey Ball puzzle games, but it's not a Monkey Ball puzzle game, and that's kind of where it flounders.
Because
it tries to just create a world and then just like, okay, deal with it.
Well, and it's funny, because if you actually go into the settings, because the one thing that gets really weird, and it really shouldn't, is the controls feel really odd rolling around a map as opposed to a board, as the Monkey Ball games tend to be. But in the settings, the camera options, there's a setting to turn the tilt camera on, and it tilts the entire world, so it makes it feel a little bit more Monkey Ball-ish.
Huh.
And in open areas, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But when you're doing, like, the more refined, like, crossing bridges and stuff, or, like, going, like, in the very first opening, there's a little spiral ramp that you can go up.
Yeah.
Because the camera is so not good.
It's a big problem.
It makes it, just the mobility of the camera coupled with the world flipping all over the place with the tilt on, it actually makes it worse.
Yeah. I mean, the games themselves are kind of weird, because the games kind of got a similar release date on the PS2 and PSP.
Mm.
Uh, The PS2's got an extra character in it. There's like a futuristic AI, I believe. And the PSP has like an extra minigame or something. And then the GameCube doesn't have those extras, but it sort of refines some other bits. Like I've seen on the PlayStation versions, you know, if you want to go to a different section of the map, you've got to rotate this fucking, I don't know, some kind of switch or something. And you have
it's
to
like
rotate
a key.
Time or opens a door. Yeah.
It is horrible to do because you've got to try and keep going in this circle, but because of the horrible controls, you keep slipping off, and it just takes like sometimes upwards of a minute to actually turn this key and get through the door.
It doesn't help then. It straight up tells you the first time you have to spin one of the locks. It's like, oh, I can't move this, but if you could move this for me. You know, you have to spin it like 7 or 8 times.
Well, I mean, from what I gather, it was done as a way to mask the loading times.
Yeah,
but that makes sense.
It's like the most obnoxious thing to do it. Like in the GameCube version, it just has a loading screen, and the loading isn't that long. So I think they should have just done a loading screen instead, because the controls, as you say, are dodgy. So trying to rotate in a circle,
yeah,
that's easy.
There was one particular point where I was outside the King's Palace, and you've got to turn a key to get into the King's Palace. Mm-hmm. You go up to his palace and then out another door, and there's another key there. You go out there, and that's what gets you into the larger outside world.
Yeah.
I started going around the larger outside world, and I managed to fall off the edge, which is quite easy to do because of the controls. And rather than put me in that larger world, it put me outside the King's Palace again with all those doors locked. So I had to spend literally 5 minutes getting back to where I originally was. And that was so frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. From what I've seen in the PlayStation version, that just seems like an awful mechanic that never should have been in there in the first place.
Someone probably got fired over that one when they saw what they did when they ported it over to the game. They're like, oh, that was a much better idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole game itself is just kind of odd. Like, on the first world, in order to get to higher levels, you have to jump on these flowers. But the hit detection is so wonky, sometimes you don't really jump properly. It's all over the place.
When there's 3 flowers in a row that you've got to jump on in succession as well, if one of those jumps goes wonky, then you're in the water and you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, yep.
I don't know if any of you did the photography mission in the first world.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Nope.
I think it's like a big tower or something, and you have to get to the top, and you've got to bounce on those nests, but you've got to bounce in a circle. So you're going around in a circle, and you're bouncing on those stupid things. And that is a lot more stressful than it really should be.
It only gives you 30 seconds to do it as well.
Yeah.
You've got bad hit detection, you've got bad controls, a tight time limit, and it's just, yeah, it's annoying.
My issue with the game is that it just doesn't do... It does everything just not good enough. Because I do, if they remastered this game and they tightened up all the controls... And, you know, allowed you to flip your X and Y axes as, you know, camera settings.
Yeah.
You know, if they tightened up those things, fixed camera problems, like the faster you roll, the faster your camera pans left and right. Versus when you're sitting still, it's just a snail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they re-release this with all of those things fixed, or made a sequel with all of those little things fixed, I could see that this game would be super enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that if someone did remake this game or remaster it and just make it work, like make controls good, make, you know, get rid of all the bugs and stuff like that, fix the camera, it could be a decent game. But it's just, I think they didn't have a clue what they were doing, and it kind of shows because it's, like... It's impossible to get 100% on the game. I don't know if you've realised this, because I don't think any of you got really far into it.
Ha!
No.
Ha.
But if you press the start menu, you can go to your totals and you can see how many bananas there are.
Right.
But the thing is, those totals aren't correct. Like, in some worlds, they're a way under, and in some worlds, they're a way over. So you'll find that in some worlds, you might get double the amount of bananas that are supposed to be in there.
Oh.
Because you can't collect all the bananas because, like, for example, on, I think it's in Moonhaven, or it could be I think it might be Monkeydropolis, actually. There's a cannon, and you fire up into the air, and you hit, like, the very bottom of these bananas, but the hit detection isn't good enough, so you don't actually pick up any of them. Or to pick them up. And there's so many bananas like that that it's just impossible to do.
That's actually really funny.
But you can get enough bananas to actually do all the missions and everything.
Right.
Because in some levels, as I say, it's got way more. So it's... As I say, I don't know what they were playing at when they were developing this.
Well, you did mention that this was made by Traveler's Tale.
Yes.
Who did not make any of the other Monkey Ball games.
Exactly, and that's, I think, one of the main problems.
It kind of
feels like a poor imitation of Monkey Ball in places.
Right, like they watched someone play a Monkey Ball game, and they're like, we can work with this.
Because, like, the whole point of Monkey Ball is that the controls are supposed to be quite tight, because you have, like, these narrow platforms that you're supposed to cross, and if you don't have good precision, you can't cross it. That's one of the, you know, the big things about Monkey Ball 1 and 2 is that it's actually possible to do these crazy things because the controls are so good.
Right.
But in this, the controls are wonky.
Yeah, and this is playing this versus Monkey Ball 2 or any of the Monkey Ball arcades, which I've played a couple of those, including the newer one they made a couple of years ago, 2014 or 15, I think. Might have been later. You know, it is tight, and this is like, I don't know, like trying to slalom, but instead of skis, you have bendy straws, and instead of snows, it's just banana pudding.
But yeah, even, I mean, like, the design of the puzzle stage, it seems a bit off. I don't know any of those, like, through the challenge mode or whatever, but everything's a little bit off. Like, not just, like, the hit detection and stuff, but just in terms of the general design, it seems a bit iffy, and the difficulty just seems to be all over the place. Some are really easy, and some are just obnoxious for no reason.
Well, what I found funny is one of the stages you can't really avoid, you can literally just roll off the back of the start and hit the platform below you.
You can do that in a lot of the Monkey Ball stages. You can do, like, little skips like that.
Yeah, you can just roll out the back and you land right. You basically land right on the finish line.
Yeah.
So, but versus getting bounced off into oblivion, which happens a lot in those in the platform stages.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I'll struggle with, you know, even platformers with tight controls. So this one, I could not do anything with. I ended up having to watch it to find out what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame as well because, like, the first stage is kind of dull, and there are a couple of okay missions, but, you know, on the whole, the design of the world and the missions are kind of lackluster. And then the next world or two after that, you know, actually has some good missions and some okay design. Like, the next world's a theme park, and there's one where you have to... Well, it says that you've got to rescue these monkeys that are trapped on a runaway roller coaster, but what you have to do is you have to ram into the roller coaster and knock it off the track.
Yeah, so, and send up flying into space.
Yeah, so they're flying into space, and you're supposed to be rescuing them somehow. But it's actually quite fun, because you're going across this roller coaster track, and it's kind of neat. You're chasing after this roller coaster and destroying it while you're rolling on a track. There's another really cool one as well, on the same level, where it's like a magic act, and you have to use all the monkey abilities you've collected throughout the game to pull off, like, these illusions and help the magician. It's, you know, like, a neat concept, and it kind of shows off what the game could be like if it was consistently good.
Yeah.
I didn't get terribly far before today. I do own it. I'm probably going to beat it, but I'm going to do it in little bite-sized chunks. So yeah, I will get to experiencing these stages just, like, maybe over the next year.
I might go back to this, but no, I am not looking forward to it if I do.
I'm never going to touch this game again.
Honestly, I reckon, you know, it's worth playing again, but I'd wait until you play some more Monkey Ball games first so you can get a hang of the controls in a game that's designed for those controls. And once you know how to move the monkeys about, then maybe go back to it.
I do like that the premise of the game is quite simply, like, as far as all the missions is make the monkeys happy.
Yeah, I say, like, I think conceptually, like, a lot of the concepts behind the game do work really well. It's just that the game doesn't pull it off at all.
I mostly liked the very basic idea, because that's really what's going on, is everybody needs to be happy.
Yeah.
And you get to play as Gon Gon, who is just the most pissed off little shit.
He's amazing. I love Gon Gon.
He's just always angry. And his idle animation is spinning around and then being mad at you for not playing. And he doesn't wait long to do that.
Yeah, he's good. With the whole kind of idea of making the monkeys happy, like in the final stage, one of the premises that the rival monkeys have created these towers that generate noise, which, you know, fits in with the whole story of the game. But you're in this city and you hear these foghorns going off like every 5 seconds, going and you can imagine how annoying that gets, having to play like this lengthy platforming level, which is one of the final stages in the game, and hearing this noise constantly.
God.
It's just full of really weird design choices where you think, what the fuck were they thinking of?
I mean, I was thinking, what the fuck were they thinking of after talking to just a couple of monkeys?
Oh yeah, the voices are just so annoying, aren't they?
It's only one voice, and I think they just said the word monkey, and then chopped it up a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And restrung it back together to form sentences of just monkey.
Yeah, because that was the thing. Like I listened to that whole intro story bit, and it was just the same thing over and over and over again.
Of just this shrill, oh my god, it hurts to listen to after a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do mean a little bit. It's not even, you don't even have to wait. It's not like, oh, well, I've been playing this game for half an hour and I want to kill these monkeys. It's like, oh man, I've been playing this game for 16 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I say, like, I can play through it and I do genuinely enjoy it, but I find that I have to avoid certain missions and certain areas and just do the minimum requirements to get through each level.
Because yeah, I can see that.
If I have to persevere with some of the more annoying stuff, then it just becomes irritating.
I think the most annoying mechanic in the game was the cannons themselves, because like one of the first cannon missions that you do for one of the monkeys is like, oh, it's after you talk to the king. He's like, oh, the guard monkeys fell asleep. Shoot yourself into the gongs to wake them up.
Yeah.
That's fine and well, except there's no way to gauge really how far things are and how far you're going to go, so it's really easy to undershoot or overshoot your target.
And you go off the end of the level if you miss.
Yeah, and then you have to go, then it drops you back in there, and you have to do it again. And yeah. I beat that mission, and it took about 8 tries.
And from what I understand, sometimes the gong doesn't stop you and you just pass right through it. And so you end up getting bounced out even if you do it successfully.
Yeah, I don't think that happens in the GameCube version, but I have heard about that before. So that could be the PlayStation one, but yeah, the game has its fair few bugs.
Yeah, it's
Speaking of bugs, did anyone get the audio bug?
Was it the voice acting? Because, yeah, we already covered that one.
Well, no, not the voice acting, but you're not far off. What happens is, it's generally during the puzzle stages, but if you have to retry the level a couple of times, sometimes the music will stop, and sometimes the music will instead play samples from the voices. So you might get, like, one bit of monkey sound effect, and it's played as if it was a music track.
Oh my god.
Repeats and repeats and repeats. And yeah, like one of the later levels, I remember getting it on this one stage, and you know when you fall out and your monkey goes, ah! It's basically just doing this one scream again and again and again.
Oh, God.
And you're just hearing it scream constantly as you're trying to do this quite difficult puzzle level. And it feels like some kind of torture.
That's a metaphor for the entire game. Just
just screaming over and over.
Yeah.
Kill me now.
Well, like, if when that happens, when you say you fall out again, does it reset and go back to normal, or is that just kind of like the new standard?
No, basically what you need to do is you need to exit and go back in again.
Oh, God.
Sometimes if you're doing, like, the challenge mode, you basically have to exit the main menu and then go back into it and do the whole thing again.
Oh, Jesus.
So wow. When I was doing the challenge mode, which, you know, has quite a few levels into it, if it happened later on, then I thought, you know, I don't have to do all this again. So I just put the television on mute just to get through it, because there was no way I could get through with these sound effects just screaming at me.
Well, that sounds like actual literal hell.
Yeah.
But as I say, I can still play it, and I still do find it fun, even if it's nowhere near the quality of the proper Monkey Ball games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main thing I like about it is what they did, because, as I say, it's the third Monkey Ball game to come out that generation, and I appreciate that they tried to do something a little bit different, and it was a concept that could have worked if it had people that, you know, knew how to make a game.
No, yeah, absolutely. Conceptually, this game is fine.
Yeah.
It's just execution. I would have rather, instead of them execute a working game, that they would just execute me.
The developers.
The developers, yeah.
I feel like if Nintendo had made this game, it would have been brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what. And that's actually kind of fair, because if you look at when this game came out, and then you look at all the other open world 3D adventure platformy games. You have Super Mario Sunshine. You had Spyro. You have all these games dropping everywhere. It was a natural step to try to bring Monkey Ball into this genre as well. You had Sonic games, good and bad. Most of them were bad.
Yeah.
And it's really a shame that it was put out in the condition that it was. Because it, at times it kind of feels like it was rushed out. Just things were overlooked.
Yeah.
Like the camera. No one could have actually thought, like, the camera's not broken, but it clearly wasn't given enough time to go, wait a minute, this is not going to work really well here, because when you're in the challenge stages, like, even in the, where it's like, oh, hit the little platform, go up to the little platform land, the camera's fixed, mostly. Like, on some of them, the camera's legitimately fixed. Or it's very natural to snap to the 90 degree, because you're not trying to haul ass across a map to get to the other monkey for him to scream in your ear.
Yeah.
Right. You're just trying to get to the goal. But when you're on the overworld, it's poorly thought out. And one of the important things of a 3D adventure game is that the camera needs to be fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it kind of is, but it's a really slow, viscous fluid.
Yeah.
I feel if you could have inverted the left and right, it would have been a lot easier to control that camera. But that kind of seems to be a choice that a lot of games made. Sonic Heroes also has that exact same kind of camera control, and that is another one that is really, really, like, difficult to control.
And it's odd that they would have done it like that too, considering really at that point Nintendo, who had kind of made a titanic splash into the 3D adventure realm with Mario 64, and then followed with Super Mario Sunshine, the camera doesn't move, oddly. You press right and the camera goes right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and even if Super Mario 64, which does have kind of a finicky camera at times, you know, it's still functional. Super Mario Sunshine had a very fluid, beautiful camera in it. And yeah, it made sense. It made sense when you moved around. And you couldn't adjust it either. There was no invert option. It just was what it was.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, they could have just implemented a couple of minor changes, like have a button to make the camera snap behind you.
Right, that would have helped too.
Yeah, because in the game, there's only like two buttons and the analog stick, and it doesn't really use any other buttons, because you've got like the chant button, you've got move, and then you've got pause, and that's probably about it. So having an extra button to help make the camera a little bit more, you know, cooperative would have helped.
Yeah.
It added an unnecessary challenge to the game, and that's really off-putting.
Yeah, definitely.
But overall, I mean, I appreciate what they try to do, and I can see where this game could be genuinely a good game.
But they fucked up.
But they fucked it up.
Yeah.
It's just bad enough. It's not horrible. It's just not good enough to make the entire game a frustrating mess.
Yeah, definitely.
That might be the best way to sum up Super Monkey Ball Adventure. It's not a bad game. It is, but it's a very frustrating game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus just being genuinely, like, it's not just a programming nightmare. It's just frustrating to no end.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of problems of, you know, there are many different problems, from programming to design to, well, pretty much everything, to be honest, that you know, that is wrong with the game.
You pick a category, and they didn't put enough. They put
into it.
Yeah, they didn't put quite enough into that segment.
Yeah, like even the music and stuff, when it's actually playing properly, isn't fantastic.
It's right, it's fun for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, but. Anyway, anyone got anything else to say about the Fantastic Monkey Ball Adventure?
Yeah, if anyone wants a mint PS2 copy of the game, let me know.
This is where you put. I'm going to finish this game, and I'm going to put it on a wall of shame. I have several games that are really bad, and they're going to be their own little shelf of my shelf of shame. And this is going on there for sure.
Well, when you get through it, you might not think so badly of it.
I think got your hopes up a little bit there, Adam.
Yeah. The only thing that I would recommend is just get through the game. Don't try and do all the missions like I did, because you'll have a rough time.
Right.
Okay, well, we'll have a final break, and then we'll pick out the best and worst of this lot. I'm sure that'll be interesting. Okay, so that's the four games that we've covered. My pick was Super Monkey Ball Adventure for the GameCube, PS2, and PSP. We had The Ninja for the Sega Master System, Final Fantasy, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, both for the NES. Okay, guys, we'll start with the best of the lot. Which did you enjoy the most?
Final Fantasy for me, definitely.
Despite it being the shortest one, I'm going to have to say The Ninja is the one I enjoyed the most.
Yeah, likewise. I also enjoyed The Ninja. It had some unforgivable mechanic, like the scroll is just an unforgivable mechanic. That was not a good design choice, but overall, the game mechanically was good. It was an enjoyable game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it.
Might play this again and actually find the scrolls this time.
It's definitely a competent game. I wouldn't say it's a particularly great game. I would say it's bordering around good.
Fair to middling,
but for the fact that you can pick this up for, you know, like a few quid in box and everything, I'd say it's worthwhile picking up and having a playthrough if you want a Master System or you've got the Master System converter or whatever.
Yeah, actually,
this is decent enough.
When I finally get around to building up my Sega collection, my physical Sega collection, I might actually look it up and add it to there just for shiggles.
Oh, you might as well. Final Fantasy, as I say, I can see why people might enjoy it, but the game's just not for me.
Right.
I hated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I think it'd be the Ninja by default anyway, to be honest. Which kind of leads us to the next part. Which game did you hate the most? For me, it was TMNT, without a doubt.
For me, it was absolutely Super Monkey Ball Adventure.
Yeah, Monkey Ball had to be it for me.
Likewise, like I said, it's not just because it was a bad game, but it was easily the most frustrating game. I hate Final Fantasy. I absolutely despise the original Final Fantasy, especially in its raw, director's cut form.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's primitive, and it's where it kind of has to be because of what it is, but
it does not stack up with modern games at all.
But I can look at that and go, this is why it's bad. Super Monkey Ball doesn't have excuses at all.
Yeah, I kind of think that if they'd have just left it to the original team, which was Amusement Vision, I think the name was. I remember the acronym was AV. Amusement Vision seems about right. But if they had the original developers make it, then it could have been all right. But Traveller's Tales just didn't know what they were doing. And as you say, they've got a bit of a spotty record anyway.
It's just not... It's not what it should be.
No.
And that adds to the frustration, too.
To be honest, I think the key thing for me that sums up Monkey Ball Adventure is disappointing. Even though I enjoy it, I kind of think it could have been so much more. It had loads of potential and just didn't hit any of it.
Yeah.
So, Super Monkey Ball Adventure then is the worst one. No. And Ninja, yeah. I think we can agree, is probably the best.
Yeah, I mean,
best of the worst, at least.
Right. Yeah. What kind of title is that to have?
Exactly. But it's still not a bad game, as we mentioned. Right, so we've had 2 months of great games with the favourite game and beat 'em up topics, and this one was a little rough, but I think the next one should be a lot better, because Ryan, it's your topic, and for that we're discussing the N64, so that should be quite a fun time.
Yes, it is a absolutely fantastic console, and it had a very good library of games, and I'm
a small library, but
not massive. It definitely petered off after the Super Nintendo, but it had a very competent library.
Definitely, I'd agree with that. Well, that'll be quite fun as a discussion topic next time, discussing your picks and also the console and our history with it, from all of us. But that's next time and next month. So thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Peace.